in those parts. Now, of course, Epaphroditus isn't one of the heroes of the faith that we hear about very often, is he? Nobody knows about him. I was going to say, how many of you know Epaphroditus? But Pastor Dean already spoiled it for me by talking about him the other night. But folks don't know about Epaphroditus, right? We know about Moses and Aaron and Abraham. We know about David who killed Goliath, right? And Jonah and the belly of the whale, all those stories. But somehow we miss Epaphroditus along with a whole bunch of other no names in the Bible. But without those no names, those people that aren't very popular, that aren't very famous, that's really not that much said about them, the Apostle Paul could have never completed the mission and the path that God put him on. God put all these people who were not in the limelight, who did not receive all the accolades, to assist and to aid the Apostle Paul. And tonight, to be frank, there's a lot of you sitting in this room who are not the first man. You're not the second man. You're not the third man. You might be the fourth or fifth or sixth down the chain. They could say fourth or fifth on the totem pole. You may not be the Apostle Paul. You may not be a Timothy. But maybe the Lord has chosen you to be an Epaphroditus. I say there's probably a whole room full of Epaphrodituses tonight. And we're going to look at some characteristics that he had, something that made him distinct enough to place him in the Scripture and give him as much reference as the Lord did. Look back, if you would, in the text, Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 19. The Apostle Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's talking about Timothy. For all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. He says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. The Apostle Paul, he wanted to go to the church at Philippi. He wanted to go in the flesh and to minister, but he couldn't. He was held back. He was imprisoned. And he said, I really want to send Timothy. He said, why do you want to send Timothy? Because he's like-minded. He'll care for you. He'll take care of you. I have no man. We're just compatible. We're companions. He's like my own son. But he said, hey, you know I just bragged about him, but I'm not going to send him. You get third dibs, fourth dibs. You get Epaphroditus. He says, yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus. You know, Epaphroditus went, even though he wasn't the first or the second or the third man. And it's important as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a soldier, to obey orders. Paul called him a fellow soldier down in verse number 25. And the first part of Epaphroditus' life I want to look at is the fellow soldier. And things sort of change in his life, and at the end they change again. But a fellow soldier, he was a comrade. He was a friend to the Apostle Paul. He was somebody that Paul could give an order to, and he would carry it out. You know, a soldier, when you got saved, some of you, I'm sure some of you know this, but maybe some of you don't, you became a soldier for Jesus Christ. That's not an option of yours to enlist in the army of God. When you got saved, you were placed in Christ Jesus, and you were also placed in the army of Christ. Look at your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. These are things that you don't go over when you're leading somebody to Christ. When you get saved, you're going to get placed into the army of Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to obey and serve. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, very familiar verses. Look at verse number 19. The Apostle Paul, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When a man gets saved, he gets bought with a price. And the price, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. The price is found in 1 Peter. If you want to write it down, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. When the Lord Jesus Christ paid for your sins, He paid for them with His own blood. And when you trusted Him, He the sins were already paid for. He just gave you the forgiveness. He gave you the pardon. He gave you the justification. He adopted you. And upon that, you became a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You're soldiers for Christ. Now, some of you don't look like it. Amen? Neither do I. Amen? I got to lose about 30 pounds. Then I'll be back there. Amen? But the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever you get saved, He adopted you into His family, but He also made you a soldier. And there's something to be said about soldiers, good soldiers, and we won't preach a whole message on soldiers, but a soldier is supposed to do what he's told. Amen? Amen. That's one characteristic of a soldier, is he's supposed to obey orders. He's supposed to execute whatever his captain or leader or sergeant or commander has given to him. And that's one thing that we see with Epaphroditus, is regardless of the position he's in, he didn't feel bad that he wasn't number one or number two. He still executed the mission that the Apostle Paul charged him with. And a lot of Christians have trouble with just taking orders from the men that God has placed over top of you. Come to church Sunday, come to church Wednesday. Come to church Sunday, come to church Wednesday. Come to church Sunday, come to church Wednesday. And some people still can't get that down. Amen? I guess I'm preaching at some of the wrong people maybe tonight. Right? Street preaching's Tuesday, Operation Jerusalem Saturday. Street preaching Tuesday, Operation Jerusalem Saturday. Street preaching Tuesday, Operation... They call it a jarhead for some reason, amen? It's like, come on! And some of you haven't got it yet. Now, I understand some of you physically can't be here, but some of you can. Say what? Street preaching Tuesday, Operation Jerusalem Saturday. Right? As a soldier of Jesus Christ, you're supposed to be able to take orders and obey. Take your Bible, very familiar verse. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Epaphroditus was a comrade. He knew how to take orders from the Apostle Paul and go out and execute those orders. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Apostle Paul is talking to another young man. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, Jesus Christ, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." You know, you're called to be a soldier. And one of the characteristics of a soldier is not entangling yourself with the affairs of this world. And the thing that hinders most soldiers from obeying the simple commands of their leaders is that they're entangled with things that they shouldn't be entangled with. Amen. They're entangled with the world. Some of you are entangled with finance. You've got so much debt that you can't even take a day off to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't need all that stuff. It's got a hold of you. You know, my pastor, he always said, nice things are not, it's not a sin if you have a nice thing, but if that nice thing has you, then it becomes a sin. Some of you have nice things and it's got your heart. Some of you have nice things and it's got your talent and it's got your time and it's got your voice. Why? You always got to serve to pay for those nice things. Always got to serve. You know what a soldier does? He doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this world. You know what Epaphroditus was? He was a fellow soldier to the Apostle Paul. If Paul needed him to get up and go to Laodicea, if Paul needed him to get up and go to Philippi, he was readily available for the service of Jesus Christ, commissioned by the mouth of the Apostle Paul. And if the Lord were to say to one of you men, up, I want you to go to Spain as a missionary, you couldn't do it. Because you're entangled with the things of this life. You put a restriction on God because of the entanglement of stuff. Stuff. And guess what? One day, all that stuff is going to burn. Some of it's going to melt. Amen. It's not going to make it up to heaven. It's not going to make it into eternity. You know what the Apostle Paul said about Epaphroditus? He called him a fellow soldier. And that's the first part of Epaphroditus' life that I'm looking at, is just the fact that he was a fellow soldier with the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes as soldiers, we want to do things, but we don't want to take orders from somebody else. We want to do it ourselves. I'm sure there's folks sitting in this room that won't come out street preaching. I'm sure there's folks that won't go out on Operation Jerusalem. But I'm sure that God Almighty from heaven had or has revealed some special ministry that you're supposed to do. And you're going to be the head of it. And you have to be in charge of it. And you won't submit to the Apostle Paul that God's placed in your life, or the Apostle Paul's, plural, that God has placed in your life. You won't do that, but bless God, God has given you a heavenly vision to start some ministry. Well, you'll get the benefit of everyone looking up to you, and you'll be in charge and in command. But as a soldier, if you can't take orders, what good are you? What good are you? You'll get put in the hold, and eventually you get a dishonorable discharge. Take your Bible, look at Mark chapter 9. You see, folks want to volunteer. I'm not saying volunteering is a bad thing sometimes, but a lot of times folks volunteer to do things that aren't even asked to do so they can get a name, and they ignore the clear instruction of the Apostle Paul in their life. They want to get some sort of accolade. They want to get some sort of recognition. Look at Mark, in Mark chapter 9. If you won't be faithful in little, how will you be faithful in much? Mark chapter 9, and look at verse number 33, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 9, verse 33, the Bible says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?' But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Before you can become a leader, you first have to know how to serve from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you smiled and some of you laughed, but that's the case with most churches. There's always a few guys that the Holy Spirit's given a vision when they won't obey the clear written and the clear spoken word of their pastors and of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. They always want to do something extra. They want to be great. And you know what the Lord said? He said, if you want to be first, if you want to be the Apostle Paul, if you want to be second, if you want to be the Timothy that was like-minded, if you want to be one of the first thing you got to do is be the servant of everyone. Be the servant of all. First thing you have to do is to be last. You want to be first? You got to be last. I spoke with a man up in Rochester, New York, and they were trying to get into the parade, and they wanted to have a float, this little church. They wanted to have a float in the parade, and they wanted to preach and all these things. And the guy that was headed up the parade, he said, "I'm going to give you a place in a parade." And he said, "Well, what do you want us to do?" He said, "Well, if you want to work in a parade, if you want to have an opportunity to give out your leaflets, then you follow the horses and pick up the manure." This guy didn't like this church very much. And you know what that pastor said? He said, "Okay, we'll pick up the manure." And for that parade, it was 3 days long. Their church members went and picked up all the manure. And you know what? I won that man over the next year. He said, "You guys want to put a float in here? Go ahead. If you want to be first, you got to be the servant." Some of you, you won't be willing to vacuum a carpet. So we're nothing deep tonight. I'm going to leave the deep stuff and the doctrinal stuff for Pastor Veach. Amen. He's not here. Just some practical things. You won't vacuum a carpet. You won't clean a toilet. You won't put air in a brother or sister's tire. Maybe won't work back here at the shop. Say, "How do you know that about me?" I don't know. I don't know, but the Lord knows and you know. You won't do those things, but then you want to be first. And the Lord says, no, you've got to humble yourself and become a servant. Look back at the text. Look at Philippians. Philippians You know, I was thinking just yesterday just how amazing the Bible is. So I was working on this sermon. Lord just kind of hit this thought over my head. Lord said, here you are taking just a couple verses, and you can't even grasp the full meaning of a couple verses. You ever notice that for 2,000 years, this is a bunny trail officially, I'm letting you know. For 2,000 years, people have been preaching the Bible, and you know what? The Holy Spirit is still showing us new things out of the Bible. I mean, what a blessing. I just want to share with you, what a blessing, what a book. Amen. The finger of God's on it. For 2,000 years, men have been preaching this book, well, the King James for 400, and still new things, and new in the Lord's minister, and what a blessing. Anyway, Philippians chapter 2, and look at verse number 25. He says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. He said, I want to serve God. I want to do something great for God. Well, maybe the first place to start is to minister to some men that are already serving God. Amen. That's what Epaphroditus did. I'm sorry, I'm one of those guys. You got to amen me or else I think you're not on board. I was at a church and this guy said, why did you keep saying amen? I said, well, because I didn't think you were getting it. And he goes, we're like a mule, brother. We just put our head down and plow, you know. I said, okay, I got you. If you want to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you start by ministering to somebody that has been serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I just heard the other day, maybe it was your pastor, he talked about Elisha, who was known as the man that poured water on Elijah's hands. He just ministered to him. You know what Epaphroditus did? He just ministered to the Apostle Paul. He said that he that ministered to my wants. Paul's in jail. I don't know, I just like to picture things in the Bible, and I can picture Paul sitting there in jail and having a little ink and pen and writing some letters and some notes, and they come by and they shove a tray with some food under the cell door. They say, eat up, Paul! And they start mocking him and mocking his God and mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just sits there and he says, Lord, God, I don't know, Lord, why I'm here, but I want to thank you for these chains. I want to thank you for being bound. Lord, you know better than me. And he's sitting there looking at that moldy bread and that soup that's about 8 or 9 days old. And he says, Lord, I want to thank you for supplying my needs. God, it's not what I want, but you said having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Lord, I thank you for keeping me alive another day. You don't have to keep me alive, Lord. And thank you for your goodness and for the Holy Spirit that ministers to me. And thank you for the word of scriptures that I have in my heart that I can sing out to you. And as he's sitting there, he starts singing, and pretty soon he starts smelling. He says, Lord, you've made this moldy bread to smell fresh. Lord, this soup, Lord, oh, made it smell just as if it was made today. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And he looks up, and there's Epaphroditus with some fresh bread and some soup. What did he do? He ministered to the wants of the Apostle Paul. He just simply helped out a man that God's hand was upon, that the Holy Spirit of God was using. You say, I want to do something for the Lord. Why don't you start by finding a man that the Holy Spirit of God is on and minister to him and help him. Minister. The problem is, we don't like to minister. You want to know? I don't like to minister. It's hard work. It's hard work to minister. But it's where you start. It's where you start. The Apostle Paul said that he was not only a fellow soldier, but a companion, and he that ministered to my wants. He was somebody that was a friend to the Apostle Paul. And in the ministry, it's a blessing to have friends. It's a blessing. Pastor said it in his prayer. He said that some of the people here are closer than your own blood relatives. And that's the truth. And it's a blessing. Look at Acts chapter 27. You say, what if I don't know how to really do much. I don't know how to really minister. Well, maybe just be a friend to somebody that's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Epaphroditus was a fellow a soldier, but a companion. Somebody that Paul could talk to and Paul could bounce some thoughts off of. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Verse 2. And entered into a ship of Adrantium, we launched, meaning to sail, by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus of Macedonia of Thessalonica being with us. And the next day we touched at Zidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to what? To refresh himself. You know, it was a blessing for the Apostle Paul. The Bible calls it a refreshment. Just to get out of those bonds, those chains, just for a few minutes, and to go amongst friends and to talk about the Savior. To go amongst friends and to talk about what the Lord's done over here in Thessalonica and Macedonia, and what the Lord's done through the preaching of other men and through the prayers of some women in a closet somewhere. You know what he called it? He called it a refreshment. You say, how do I minister? How do I help? Well, just be a friend. A friend to the man of God. So your pastor's not here, so I can give you some advice on what to do to him. Be a friend to him. Be a help to him. Supply some of those needs. Not everything is financial. Not everything could be satisfied by giving a check. On deputation, I tell you, we've gone through money like water because of all the expenses. And praise the Lord, God supplied and supplied and supplied and supplied. But I tell you what, somebody handing you a check and somebody sitting down and listening to you and crying with you and praying with you, there's no comparison. Amen. Now please don't stop giving your money, amen. But there's no comparison to somebody who's a friend. That's why I love this place. I have some friends here. This place is dear. I have some friends down in Florida. I have a couple friends in the Philippines. People that will listen and people that will encourage you and people that, regardless of whether you like it or not, will tell you the dead honest truth. Amen. Amen. And guess what? You need some friends. You know what Paul did? Paul went out and he refreshed himself. It was a refreshment. In the midst of his bonds, in the midst of being a prisoner, he was refreshed by getting to talk with his Christian friends. You know, getting around one another and talking about the things of the Lord should be a refreshment to you. It shouldn't be a burden. I don't know about you. There's people you start talking to and they're just a burden. You know what I'm talking about? Your spirit just sinks down to your ankles, man. You're just like, oh, Lord, please, shut up. Amen. Well, that shouldn't be you. Amen. You should be a help and a refreshment and a friend to one another. And especially to the Apostle Paul's at the Lord's place in your life. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He was a soldier, but he was also a friend. He was a comrade. And he was also very committed. Very committed. Not all soldiers are courageous. Not all soldiers are brave. Bravery isn't puffing up your chest and going into the battle all proud and arrogant and ready to kill. Bravery is being terrified inside. Bravery is not wanting to go. Bravery is saying, I'm going to get shot, I'm going to get killed, and my family will not have a daddy. But because there is a cause, I'm going to go in and fight. That's bravery. And you know what? This man, Epaphroditus, he was committed. He was brave. Look at verse number 27. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse number 30. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. The Lord raises up these Epaphrodituses. And the reason He raises them up is that there's a lack amongst most churches. There's a lack amongst the great multitude. And because of the lack, the Lord raises up Epaphrodituses. You say, what do you mean He was committed? Well, He was ready to die, but He still fulfilled His mission. You know, there are folks that can't even forget doing anything real spiritual. I mean, giving out a tract, man, that's real spiritual compared to just showing up for church, amen? They won't come to church if they got a hangnail. You know what, this guy, he was ready to die. And he still supplied the lack from that entire church. He carried that burden by himself. The entire church's burden he carried when he was sick and ready to die. And they ask you, what's your excuse? You say, well, brother, you just don't know. Well, brother, I've got a job and I've got a wife and I've got... Right. But who's going to supply the lack? You know, there's ministries that are faltering and failing and falling apart because there's no Epaphroditus. Pastor had us pray for a brother named Dan. What was his last name, Pastor? Who? One more time?
Ralston.
Dan Ralston, who was ready to throw in the towel and quit and close up his church and just resign and throw the whole thing in the trash can. I don't know if he did or not. But you know, there's probably no Epaphroditus supplying the lack in his church. When no one supplies the lack, the Apostle Paul won't get ministered to. And when the Apostle Paul doesn't get ministered to, you won't receive the Word of God that God wants to give you. You know, if no one ministered to the Apostle Paul, think we'd have these letters and this Bible today? God gives His words through the Apostle Paul's. He ministers to the flock and to the people that are saved, to the people that are lost through the Apostle Paul's. And if there's no Epaphroditus to minister and to take care of the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul's gone, you know what'll happen? Just like it happened back in Exodus when Moses went up in the mount. There'll be fornication and sin and problems and the whole thing will just fall apart. I want to ask you, men, are you in Epaphroditus? Are there other things getting in the way of being a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 2, I think we're there. Look at verse number 26. He wasn't only a fellow soldier, but he was a fellow servant. He was a fellow servant. In verse number 26, the Bible says, "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." Epaphroditus was a fellow servant who was compassionate. Who was compassionate. I count it, when I look at people in the ministry and I look at Christians, I count it a mark of maturity when they can recognize other Christian struggles and try to help. That's a mark of maturity when your eyes aren't just focused on you anymore, but they're focused on other people, not on everybody else's problems and what they're doing wrong and how they're wrong and justifying, but whenever you can see their struggles and their hurt and their pain and their sorrow, it's a mark of maturity when you can see that and then you get into a position to try to help. And you know what Epaphroditus, he shows compassion. He knew this church and his heart was full of heaviness. Why? Because this church simply heard that he was sick. His heart was full of heaviness because a church simply heard that he had been sick. That shows a lot about his character, does it not? You know, when we have a woe or a sorrow, the first thing we like to do is proclaim it to all of our friends and all of our family and all of our church people. Pray for me. And we don't even go to the Lord ourselves. We put a burden on other people that we've never cast on the Lord first. Epaphroditus was compassionate toward his church. He didn't want this church now that couldn't even supply the need that Paul had to worry about him as well. They couldn't even, he supplied the lack of the whole church. You know what? He was still compassionate. He wasn't aggravated. He wasn't irritated. He wasn't angry at the church. His heart was sorrowful. He was compassionate. He said, "Man, I wish they hadn't found that out about me. Now they may stop even the ministering that they're doing, a little bit of ministering toward Paul, and they may start funneling that toward me. And I don't want that. Why did they have to find that out? Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have told anybody." He was full of compassion. You know, sometimes we're quick to tell everybody our problem. We're quick to make prayer requests. Let me tell you a couple prayer requests I heard. I was in Pensacola, Florida, and PBI, and a gentleman stood up and he said, "Please pray for me. I need $383 by tomorrow. And the next Wednesday night, he stood up and he said, praise the Lord, someone gave me that money in this church. And I thought, well, what about going to the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing God Almighty answer your prayers? Amen. Some of you look at me like, oh, well, that's not right. You should tell. Well, maybe not. What about casting your care upon Him? Seeing Him supply your need. My wife and I, Brother Sutak, I think you all are familiar with him, yes? He gave me a little piece of advice when I was 12 years old. And his piece of advice, he said, never tell the brethren your financial prayer request or any other prayer request if they can really supply that for you. And I said, why? Why wouldn't I tell them? Of course I want them to supply that for me. He said, well, you won't know if it's God that answers or the brethren that answer. And from 12 years old, that stuck with me. And I started praying that way. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Sicily, then you've got to get me a ticket over there. I've never been to, out of the country, never been to Mexico, never been to Canada. God, if you want me in Sicily, then you have to get me there. And a week later, I got an email from Brother Sal Galeotto. Dear Brother Lee, please come preach a tent meeting for me. I said, wow, Brother Sutak, this thing works. We started praying on deputation. If you read our prayer letters, we don't mention finances. We don't mention what we need. And believe me, we've had plenty of needs, such as any other missionary has. Money comes and money goes with hotel expenses and RV repairs and four tires and a blowout and a car part and your kid's getting sick and you don't have insurance and you're not in your right state and you got to go pay an ER. There's always expenses. And my wife and I said, honey, let's just try this thing out and let's pray. We started out, we had a little jalopy, if you can call an old RV a jalopy. It was a jalopy RV, amen. Thing falling apart. And we got to our first meeting, water spraying out under the sink. The guy lied to us and a whole bunch of stuff was wrong with it. Never buy an RV sight unseen, amen. Never. And a toilet was leaking, generator didn't work, the thing was broke down, and so I took it in. I didn't know what I was doing with all these electronic things. $1,200. We're broke. Broke. Nothing. We're in debt. And I said, Lord, all right. I'm not going to write it in my prayer letter. I'm not going to announce it to the church. I'm not going to say anything. So we're just going to ask you and see what you want to do about this. I got a meeting Wednesday night. I got 2.5 days to get this thing fixed. And $1,200 came in an envelope at a church anonymously by a gentleman. And a $300 love offering to get us to our next meeting. You know what the Lord supplied? The Lord supplied. We were down, I don't know, we were somewhere in Texas. And we're driving our RV, no car, no nothing, 4.5 miles to the gallon. I said, Lord, sure would be nice to have a car. Tow a little car behind, run to Walmart, not to drive an RV, unhook it, pack everything back up. My wife and kids, everything's got to be secured and bungeed down. I said, boy, it sure would be nice to have a car. And I was tempted to put in a prayer letter. We need a car. You know what happened? We'd probably get $4,000 or $5,000 from brethren that want to be generous. Here, buy a car. You know what my wife and I did? We got down on our knees and we prayed. I said, God, I have a food and raiment. Lord, we've got it. But Lord, it sure would be nice to have a car. You know what happened? Next church we went to, this lady came up to me and she said, my husband and I are selling this little red Honda. It's sitting out here. She says, I don't know, but you don't have a car, do you? I said, no. She said, well, why don't you test drive it? And my husband said, maybe we could work out payments or something. I said, okay, and we went up and we test drove it. It was perfect, smooth, everything worked. He just put $1,000-some just on the engine and then $1,000-some on springs, since I'm not a mechanic, on all sort of things, over $2,000. And I said, well, I guess I'll talk to him tonight about the price. And that night he came and he signed a title over. He said, brother, God told me to give you this car. Amen. The next day I said, God, I don't have a car, Dolly. Another man in church came up to me. He said, brother, I got this car, Dolly. And yesterday I heard brother so-and-so gave you a car. I put new tires on it, new ball bearings. I put LED lights on it with a hookup. Here you go. It's yours. You know, the Epaphroditus, he didn't spread out all his desires and all his wants. Even when he was sick unto death, he didn't spread it out and tell everybody to pray for him. He had a compassionate heart. He didn't want his problems to affect someone else's walk with Jesus Christ. And brother and sister, if you can grasp nothing else from this entire, from whatever's going on here, you can just grab this. Pray to the Lord. Let your requests be made known unto who? Unto God, not to brethren. Because when they're answered, you'll know it was God who answered it. I can go on and on and on. My wife and I have a little black book we put answered prayers in. And that thing is slowly filling up. Slowly filling up. And I tell you, by the grace of God, we've never put anything. We've never told a church what we needed. Just recently, I don't want to embarrass, but a brother in this room the other day walked up and gave me $1,200. You know what, my wife, I started praying for $1,200 for a specific need. And I didn't tell my wife, and my wife came up to me Sunday night when I pulled out this envelope of money. I never counted it. Brother just gave me an envelope of money, and I said, well, honey, I said, I've been praying about something, and somebody gave me money tonight. I think it's an answer to God's prayer. And she said, wait, don't open it yet. I just tell you, I've been praying that God would supply the $1,200 for this that we need. And I said, well, that's what I was praying. And so we opened it up, and we're like, God, it's got to be $1,200. So sure enough, Lord, $1,200 on the button. Answered an exact prayer. You know the problem that we have in America, Christian, is that we all have Visa and MasterCard and Discover. And we don't trust God for anything anymore. Right? We want it, we charge it. We desire it, we charge it. Our wife wants it, we charge it. Our kids want it, we charge it. And we don't get to see the hand of God moving anything. And we don't appreciate when God answers prayer anymore. Because we limit God. Can't do anything for missions. Can't do anything in our local community. Can't even show up for church because we got to work to pay down a credit card bill. When if we just trust God, God may not supply the $15,000 thing that you want, but He may give you something that's worth about $4,000 that'll do the job. And you could say, God supplied my need, everybody. Hey, He answered my prayer. He's real. But instead, we just swipe. And Christianity is sort of mundane and boring. Because we don't see the hand of God. You know what Epaphroditus was, men? He was compassionate. He didn't tell everybody all his needs and wants. And he surely didn't have a visa to take care of those needs and desires and wants himself. He didn't want his problem to hinder someone else's walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let me end on one other illustration because you guys will understand this. I had a brother in Christ. Actually, I had a whole slew of kids over to my house. When my sister-in-law, Graziella Hauser, now Hauser, Graziella Galeotto, came down to PBI, instantly, I had really no friends. I don't know if it's because of me or because of them, but I had no friends. And instantly, when she moved down and into our trailer with us, I had like 15 grown men want to talk to me and very interested. And one came up to me, and he said, hey, brother, I bought you this Subway sub. I said, oh, thanks, brother, thanks, you know. Haven't talked to me in 2 years, what's up, you know. He goes, well, maybe we can go out on an outing, you know, and maybe you can bring your sister-in-law, you know. Funny how those things work. Anyway, so one night I thought it was humorous. I invited about 8 of these young men that were interested in Graziella to my house at the same time for dinner. And they didn't know that the other ones were going to be there. I said, my wife and I are having dinner. Graziella will be there. You want to come? Oh, yeah, brother. You know, they were super excited. They all came in polished. And the surprised look when they saw 4 other men and 5 other men. Anyway, so we all sang some hymns. And it was that night that I had a couple microwaves on the side of my wall. Because we had moved into this little trailer apartment thing. And we had a microwave we had prayed for, and a gentleman said, hey, brother, I got this microwave. You want it? I said, yeah, we prayed for a microwave. And so whenever I moved in, now I had 3. So I tried them out. They worked. I was going to give them to the church to see what they wanted to do, give them away. And the next night, this gentleman that was at this little dinner, he said, brother, I need to ask you something, you know, to pray about. And I said, okay, brother, well, I'm looking at him in the mirror. I said, let's wait till we go to church. I don't know, you're a single guy, my wife's in here. I don't know what you're going to ask me. Let's just talk guy to guy, you know. And he goes, no, it's okay. Like, she should probably hear this too. And I said, okay, well, what's going on? He says, well, brother, I'd really ask you to pray that the Holy Spirit of God would show somebody down here at Bible Baptist Church that maybe the Lord would just convict their heart and show them that I need a microwave. And I said, yeah, brother, I'll pray about that. I had two of them sitting there, and he saw them the night before. And so the next day, I went to his trailer, and I said, brother, come on over. You grab one of those microwaves. I know you saw him over there. Come on over and grab one. And he says, I don't need a microwave. You see how dumb a microwave, right? Little microwave. But sometimes if you trust the Lord can answer prayer, and he'll become more real to you. I went to his door. I said, brother, come on over and grab this microwave. He said, I don't need a microwave. I said, well, last night you had me pray for you to get one. He goes, I bought one from Walmart. I said, what about the prayer and the fasting and the petitioning of God and the Holy Spirit's conviction? And he just slammed the door. You see, we throw around our prayer requests sometimes very loosely. We throw them around instead of as prayer requests. We should just say, I know you have that. Can you give it to me? Just be real. Just be real. Anyway, Philippians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And Colossians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse number 7. It's the Apostle Paul. He's talking about the gospel came. I'll go back to verse number 5, actually. The Bible says here, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the world, in the word of the which ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. We're almost out of time. I'm trying to run through this, but he kind of switches roles, I believe, from being a soldier to being a fellow servant. And there's something that happens when a man realizes other people's struggles and other people's problems and starts to minister to those problems of his own free will. He then becomes a servant. See, a soldier just kind of does what he's told, right? Go do this, go do that, here's your marching orders, go. But a servant is one who ministers. Turn a page over to Colossians chapter 4. Being a fellow servant, it's only mentioned twice in the Pauline epistles, and it's mentioned directly with ministering. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul, he says, chapter 4, verse 7, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. There's something connected with being a fellow servant and being a minister. And I think Pastor Veach touched on it, and he did a very excellent job when he discussed the difference between preaching the gospel and ministering the gospel. You could be a soldier of Jesus Christ. You could be a soldier, a fellow soldier, and take order after order after order. But whenever you become a fellow servant, starting to deal with the ministry that's encompassed in teaching and preaching and ministering to people. You know, Epaphroditus was compassionate, but Epaphroditus was also a laborer in prayer. Look at Colossians 4, you should be right there. See, ministry doesn't just encompass preaching on the street or filling a pulpit. Believe it or not, I've talked with many pastors and I've asked them, I said, what's the hardest part of being a pastor? And they all laugh, and most of them, they say, oh, most people think it's standing behind this pulpit and preaching. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's the prayer. It's the time and the worry over God's people and committing things to the Lord. And it's the visits and crying and listening to people's problems and struggles and giving them the truth and trying to help them. And they say they want help and then they reject the help. It's called ministering. Ministering to people. Colossians chapter 4, look at verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras was a prayer warrior. Part of the fellow servant, part of being a servant and ministering, is ministering in prayer. You know what made Epaphras so great? It's great enough to mention 4 or 5 times in the Scripture, unlike a lot of these other men, was the Lord, through the mouth of Paul, says, he labored always fervently in prayers. Amen. If you want to be like Epaphras, if you want to be a help to the Apostle Paul's, it's easy to take orders. Like we said earlier, it's easy. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. We don't do Sunday night. Sunday morning, Wednesday night, right? Well, you know, it's hard to pray. I think we may have touched on this, but prayer, there's no glory in prayer. Absolutely no glory in you getting alone with Jesus Christ early in the morning. Nobody knows about it. But if you want to be like Epaphroditus, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to pray. You know what he prayed for? He prayed that they might stand complete, that they might stand perfect in all the will of God. Well, that man had a handle on prayer. If those were the things he was praying about. You don't find him praying about his microwave, amen. You find him praying for the needs, the important needs of God's people. If you want to be like an Epaphroditus, just a nobody in the Bible, nobody really knows about him. If you want to be just up to that level of a nobody, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to fervently pray for God's people. You have to pray for their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to pray that they might stand in the will of God. Many people know what God wants them to do, and they just won't do it. You know what it takes? It takes prayer. Because the Holy Spirit of God can bust down those walls that you and I cannot bust down. See, prayer works. But we don't pray because there's no glory in it. Epaphroditus was a prayer warrior. Epaphroditus, just turn back another page. We'll be just about done here. Epaphroditus was a comfort to the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse number 15. Apostle Paul says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You know what Epaphroditus, and being a fellow servant, one of the characteristics that jumps off the page is that he was a comfort by being trustworthy. He was a comfort by being trustworthy to Paul. You know, Paul could trust him with money. That's a big thing. I don't know, maybe some of these men were sick one day and somebody else had to count the offering. I don't know, could you be trusted? Just talking to the men this evening. Could you be trusted? Or would people just say, "Yeah, I'd rather not. There's, you know, I just don't trust him. I don't have faith. He's not faithful in other areas, so why would he be faithful in money?" You see, Epaphroditus was faithful. He was trustworthy. Paul didn't worry about him stealing the money. He didn't worry about him stealing his books, which were valuable, or his clothes back then, the cloaks. Paul didn't worry about him going from church to church, or that Paul sent him, and trying to steal disciples for himself. Paul didn't have to worry about him trying to make a name for himself. Paul didn't have to worry about him teaching false doctrine, because Paul knew that Epaphroditus knew the Scriptures. Men, is that you? Are you an Epaphroditus? Can your pastors trust you? If you had to teach a Sunday school, could they trust you to teach straight Bible? You say, "Well, there's somebody else I want to be called." But if you were the only man, could you be trusted to teach the Bible straight? He was trustworthy. Paul didn't have to worry about it. He didn't even mention his worry about it. He just says, I received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. He says, thank you. And Epaphroditus brought all that to me. He was a comfort to the Apostle Paul. Many men travel around and they try to steal sheep after themselves, try to get a flock, try to get recognition. But not Epaphroditus. He just simply wanted to serve the Apostle Paul and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philemon chapter 1. Apostle Paul said that he was sick, nigh to death, but he still continued, he still completed his mission. And Epaphroditus was so committed that he was willing to go to prison for Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, we have the freedom that we have today. But I wonder, if you're not faithful today, men, you say you're only 25. Yeah, but the truth is the truth, so just take it. If you're not faithful today, will you be able to stand when adversity comes? If you can't stand today when there's no adversity, when there's nobody holding a gun at you, when there's nobody holding a whip over you, when there's nobody threatening to kill you, will you be faithful when that adversity does come? You know, I talk with men, and of course there's always some nut somewhere, but there was a kid one time, and he came up to me, he said, I know what you preach today. He said, I'd be willing to die for Jesus Christ. And I said, well, okay, that's cool. I said, well, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was visitation. Where to go door knocking? Well, brother, you know, I was busy yesterday. I said, you can't serve Jesus Christ? You can't live for Him? And you would think you're going to die for Him? People have said that a lot. I remember somebody told me, he said, I just want to go to Saudi Arabia and preach the gospel and be a martyr. I'm like, brother, you can't get out of bed for Sunday school. You think you're going to go to Saudi Arabia and be a martyr for Jesus Christ? Knowing the Lord's humor, He wouldn't have you become a martyr. He'd lock you in prison for the rest of your life. But what are you going to do? Look at Philemon verse number 23. Well, look at verse number 1 first. Paul, a prisoner of Rome. Is that what it says? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Even though he was a prisoner, he counted it the Lord Jesus Christ who allowed him to go there. And Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. The Apostle Paul counted himself to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 23. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. You know, Epaphroditus served the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ when he was sick, nigh unto death, when everything was caving in around him, even his own health. He was ready to die. He served the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the time came, because he laid that foundation, he moved from fellow soldier to fellow servant, to fellow prisoner. And you'll never become a fellow prisoner if you can't obey and be a fellow soldier. You'll never become a fellow prisoner if you can't minister and become a fellow servant. You know, being a fellow prisoner is a great privilege to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to let you suffer. I had all these verses to go through. We don't have time tonight. But the Lord definitely does some things for folks when they get in prison. The Lord becomes real when you get in prison. And sometimes you're prisoned without being in prison. Some people are prisoned with their health. They can't get out. They can't serve the Lord. Some people are prisoned with their finances. Some people are prisoned. The Lord does things so that they can't move. And during those times when God becomes real, you know, Epaphroditus, he was willing to suffer to supply the lack, but he was also willing to go to prison. And we don't know. I don't know. Maybe you know. Maybe you got some Greek text or something. But maybe he died in prison. I don't know. Maybe he was martyred. Maybe he got out and preached some more. But we know that he was willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing to be imprisoned. Called him a fellow prisoner. I wonder, Christian, if you can't submit now to the clear things of the Word of God, if you can't obey now, when there's no persecution, will you ever be a fellow prisoner? Or will you just cow down and back down on your position, on a belief, on the Bible, on the Lord Jesus Christ? If there's nothing now and you can't do it, will you ever do it? Will you ever do it? Epaphroditus is commendable as a great man that the Bible says he was. Preacher, if you'd come.
Church almost 40 years ago that had in the hallways of the building dozens of pictures of the great, what we would call the great warriors of the faith. All the way back to the first century. Savonarola. On and on and on. All the way up to the current. And they were painted by many talented artists. And at the bottom there was a plaque and there was a brief history of that person. And I'll be honest, I walk around and I was fascinated by all of those pictures. Pictures of John Knox and Whitefield and on and on, right up to the present time of some very great men who we would call great in Jesus Christ. But the one picture that I was drawn to the most, because in my heart of hearts, I knew I was probably going to end up like one of the faces in that picture. There were pictures of Caucasians and Chinese, Oriental of every persuasion, the African, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And there was maybe a dozen or so pictures, faces, just a face, that was planted in that picture, in that portrait. And at the bottom of the portrait was the phrase, "To the unknown soldiers." Maybe your name one day will stand out here. You know where I want my name to stand out? On the other side of the glory. Just like Epaphroditus. Now I want to thank God for a church where people know how to help. Nobody's seeking any glory, right from the senior pastor on down. Pastor Mike said it Sunday night. He got off on a little bit of something about people dropping their cigarette butts in the parking lot. And then he looked and he got quiet because I knew where he was going with it. And he said, "You know who picks those cigarette butts up?" And he raised his hand. That's your senior pastor. That's my pastor who I get to help. The unknown soldiers, folks. Let's commit ourselves to something. Let's just get the job done. If God wants to put your name in something special, then so be it. But I can guarantee you, and I've said this before, if you go on the North Shore and ask people if they know First Bible Church, they don't even know us. And I'm okay with that. Let's be Epaphroditus. Let's just be that one guy who most Christians, if you would ask them anything about him, my brother said it, they wouldn't even know he was in the Bible. And all he wanted to do was help. You know, I think that's the greatest calling in all the Bible. I'd rather help than preach. That's just the God's truth. I'd rather help than sing. Let's just commit ourselves to helping. Find some way to help. You know where that starts? I think there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, helping together by prayer. Helping together by prayer. That's how you can help. You want to help your pastor? You want to help the pastor who helps him? You want to help your brothers and sisters in Christ in this place? I covet your prayers. I covet when somebody just, my name and my wife and our family just runs through their mind and they offer up a simple prayer. I'm convinced that's why God, one of the reasons why God's blessed us in this place. Because somehow nobody wanted any glory. They just, from the old timer who's in heaven now, just wanted to honor Jesus Christ. Didn't care about making the name. Boy, that's a guarantee. Folks, your name is known in heaven. Epaphroditus got his name in the book. How about that? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for my brother tonight.